Hello and welcome back to the Dune Minute Podcast, your place to dive deep minute by minute into the cinematic adaptation of Frank Herbert's World of Dune. I'm one of your hosts, Zach.
And I'm John.
And we are back on this Wednesday episode to talk about minute 82 through 83. Still riding the high of that glow globe sighting.
Oh, baby, you know it.
It is. We're not done with it this week. We got a lot more coming up on that, but it is not the main focus of the content this week, John. It is unfortunately we have two other jabronis talking, taking away the camera's attention from this glow globe.
God damn it! I don't want to spoil anything, but the presence of a glow globe historically always influences the Shai Hulud rating of the week. So, be ready.
So we are in the midst of this conversation between Fade and Lady Margot Fenring.
Mm-hmm. We actually just started. We two sentences
in. Yeah, so let's do a little recap. Fade goes, or he jumps out Scooby-Doo style from the wall and holds a knife at her throat and asks, well, says, "You're following me." And she goes, "I am."
Am I?
Am I? Question mark.
Before we go on, the knife that Fade has in this, mm-hmm. I feel like maybe isn't intentionally, but to me is almost an homage to Lynch, because it looks very much like the knife that Fade has in the Lynch film.
Oh, okay.
Just a little observation.
I want to believe that all that's intentional,
because I would love for it to be.
We've called that out a couple of times throughout this movie.
And I feel like Denis, you know, wants to put some respect on what came before as well, you know. Like, obviously, these are his movies, but, like, you know, 84 Lynch, whether you think it's a good movie or a bad movie, is still the first time that we saw Dune.
It was an influential movie, regardless of how good or bad it was.
Yeah.
Or how you think it was. Yeah, it was good. Definitively, I think it was good.
I would agree with you.
Well, there's a notion...
And I don't think the mass, you know, audience of moviegoers would agree with you.
There is a concept on the Flophouse podcast where they rate and they, you know, talk about just movies that did poorly in the box office.
Yeah.
Commercial flops. And they always try to categorize the movie as, you know, a bad, bad movie, a good, bad movie, or a movie that you kind of liked.
Yeah.
I think the Lynch movie is firmly a great, bad movie.
Sure. Yeah. It was a great bad movie that was a disaster in the making and editing process. So
anyways,
we love it.
So Margot continues, "I may have gotten lost, still being coy as fuck."
Oh, she's coy as fuck throughout this entire conversation. Yes. Like,
and she asked him if she or if Fade will show her the way out of this maze. And she's really laying it on thick here.
My Lord Nah Baron.
My Lord Nah Baron, yes. She's really, really laying it on thick. She knows how to get to him. There's some seductive eyes being shared between the two of them.
I mean, Lea Seydoux has those very, like, big kind of eyes.
Mm. Yes, she does. At this point, Fade kind of... scowls a little bit, and he's thinking real hard, and he asked if they've met before.
Yeah.
I can't corroborate if they have or haven't. I mean, definitely not in the movie right now, but in the books, I don't know if they actually have. Now, keep in mind, I don't think this conversation exists in the books, but I believe the meeting, like the Fenrings go to Gaty Prime for the birthday celebration. I believe that was the first time they met.
Yeah.
Now they do meet before the fight in the books. So if we're trying to match up timelines, they would have already met at this point.
But in the movie, clearly they haven't met.
Yeah.
So.
And Margot says as much. She denies it and she introduces herself. She says she's here to honor his coming of age.
I don't like the way that you just put the emphasis on coming. I mean, yes, they're going to have sex, but like, holy shit.
Well, that's what she's here for, man. then Fade really gets all like a hall monitor on her and tells her that she's not allowed to be here.
You're in the restricted section.
And I love this little exchange right here, because I think this tells Fade all he needs to know about this lady.
Mm-hmm.
He says, "How did you get past the guards?" And then again, very like playfully, coyly, whatever you want to call it, she just goes, "The guards."
And just kind of looks around for a second.
Yeah.
And then we get Margot Fennering's voice, but also there's a little bit of a twinge to it.
Yeah. Well, she turns the questioning back on him.
Yeah. She goes, "May I ask what you are doing here? You're not taking part in your own celebrations." Except her mouth's not moving.
Well, I think it is right now. It stops in a couple of seconds. It stops a sentence or two later.
Yeah.
Because she's slowly moving from vocal communication to basically telepathy.
Telepathy, well, but also like the voice.
Yeah. I mean, she's clearly, we've come to know that the Bene Gesserit, whenever they start acting and talking weird like this, mm-hmm. they're using the voice.
Yeah. And I've got to say, like, okay, so all other instances of the voice that we've had up until now have been very harsh and very sharp. But the way that Margot Fennering wields the voice is so different and so unique, and it's so fucking cool. Art and Soul talks about how Margot Fennering is essentially Gaius Helen Moheim's, like, spy master.
Yeah.
Which, you know, may or may not be exactly true to the books, but in the case of the movie, is certainly true, because, you know, she's the one that's sent on the mission to kind of identify the potential of Fade and, you know, do all of this reconnaissance work and everything.
Yeah.
So it would make sense and stand to reason that Margot would be one of the most adept users of the voice, which is mm-hmm. psychological manipulation.
Yes. She is also, well, I'm picking up what you're laying down. I agree. The question that I had written in my notes is she better at the voice than Jessica?
I would say Margot's probably better at the voice than Moheim even is.
Probably, yeah. Because when Paul was doing the Gamjabar test, Moheim's voice was very harsh as well. Not as harsh as Jessica's was, but it still was that kind of abrasive.
Come here, yeah, kneel.
Exactly.
Yeah.
This is, I love their interpretation of Margot's voice usage. I mean, that's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Because it is so much closer to the book description of what the voice is, where it is not like command, command, command. It is power of suggestion.
Yeah.
It is something that is very subtle, and we get to see it work in a very subtle, manipulative way with Fade. And it's not exactly subtle, but it is much more muted is not the right word, but not as exaggerated as it is with Jessica.
I would say, though, that we can see it work physically on Fade, though, because he, you know, the moment that she says, you know, "May I ask what you're doing here? You're not taking part in your own celebrations." He exhales forcefully and acts almost like, I don't know if you've ever had like a ice pick headache
mm-hmm.
where it just like fucking hits you for a couple sure. seconds and you're just like, "Ah, what the fuck?" Like, yeah. That's kind of the reaction that he has here. And he's just like, "Ah, fuck. You're Bene Gesserit."
Yeah.
And then she goes, still super coyly, to say, "And what makes you say..." Yeah. End of minute.
Yeah, gosh. I mean, she's clearly getting underneath his protruding brow here with this, because he looks like he almost winces in pain a yeah. little bit. I don't know. It's just, it is a much more artful use of the voice, and I love it. It's great.
It's very, in my notes, it's just silky.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, like you and I just talked about, like Jessica's use of the voice in, you know, part one is much more abrasive. In part two, it's kind of, you know, depending on whether you think she's utilizing the voice, you know, during the scene when she's told that Paul makes peace with Shai Hulud, you know, that seems a little more silky, but I don't know if that's, you know, her using the voice or her just like leaning more and more into some of the religious fanaticism of the Fremen. Maybe a little column A, a little column B.
Yeah. I also think that they are much more receptive to it. So you probably don't
have
to lean.
She doesn't have to lay it on nearly as hard as, say, she did in the Ornithopter when the Harkonnens were,
you know,
going to just drop them off in the desert and give her the long goodbye.
And it's possible that Fenring does not have to turn it all the way up with Fade. She demonstrates her value, her strength. When she says, you know, what guards?
Yeah.
I really took that as a, okay, she has shown him that she is strong and that she can subdue the guards and, you know, take them out. And we know that Fade values strength.
Yep.
And just fighting ability and things like that. So she, I mean, not to quote Always Sunny, but she demonstrates that value right at the beginning.
And she's establishing a connection now.
Yep, exactly.
Yep.
She will be nurturing independence later, I think.
Yep.
And she does neglect entirely.
Yeah. She hits it and then fucking leaves.
Yep. What's the I and the S? No, sir. She neglects emotionally.
Oh, yeah. She absolutely neglects.
She neglects emotionally.
And then there's the inspiration of hope, which happens, you know, well, I guess the hope has already been inspired because
that's
Vladimir.
That's the barony or the emperorship, I guess.
Yeah. It was like, oh, well, I'll make you emperor.
Yeah.
And then separate entirely. She just fucking leaves.
Yeah.
So.
Damn. Marco Finring's pulling the Dennis system on Fade. Confirmed.
All right. Well, we're halfway through the Dennis system now, so let's. Let's come back tomorrow to finish talking about how she Dennises the fuck out of Fade.
All right, great. Yeah, no more notes on my end.
All my notes were just about how awesome her use of the voice is here. Yeah. So, as always, the Dune Minute is online in a couple different places. You can find the Dune Minute on Blue Sky at DuneMinute.com, and you can email DuneMinute@gmail.com if you'd like to get in touch with us. We will be back tomorrow with another episode continuing on about this Dennis system usage over Fade. And we'll see you then.
See you later.